Yeah. It's a big game. Who you know that got it behind the scenes like behind the O-line soon as the QB say hype? It's big game, big game, analysis from the player's point of view. Injuries, big trades, player news. Yeah, sector competition, and he played with Tony Dungy. Better listen, I'm talking about
Big Game Sports Buzz.
Set everything you need and more. Yeah.
Big Game Sports Buzz.
I thought I told you once before. We call him
Big Game James.
Yeah,
Big Game James. Big Game James.
What's going on, everybody? It is that time of the week. That's right. It is time for Big Game Sports Buzz, where the sports fanatic and the pro athlete get together and talk about all things sports. I am Jay Stoggs, the buff nerd. Let's go. And of course, I am joined by the man, the myth, the legend, the reason why, thank you, this podcast is called what it is, Big Game James. What up, guy? What up, dude? How you feeling?
What's up, Jay? It is March Madness. The shit has begun. The craziness has already started. I'm good, dog. I'm good, man. I love these next couple weeks that we're about to go through, dog. Love
there you it. Go. That's what's up. That's what's up for sure. Man, I'm going to change over a setting real quick here so that we can.
Oh, you buzzing now, Jay. You buzzing. Can't hear you. Change it back.
Is that better?
Yeah, there you go. I don't know what the hell you changed. Don't do that again.
Okay. All right. We'll get it right for the next time. But hey, look, we got a lot of stuff to talk about. First of all, let's do some housekeeping, of course. Thank you for showing up, showing out of for Big Game Sports Buzz and BGSE, Big Game Sports and Entertainment Network, or Sports and Entertainment Collide. Make sure that you like, subscribe, share, and ring that bell so you know when you can get some of this great content coming on your favorite platform, whether it is on Spotify, whether it's on YouTube, whether it's on Insta. We're there. You can also check us out on, like I said before, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music. We're there everywhere on your favorite podcasting platform. Man.
They were cheering
for you, dog. What's up?
They was cheering for you, dog.
Yay.
Oh, man.
Listen, a lot of things going on this week. Of course, March Madness is starting. We're in full swing in the NFL. Basketball season is starting to wrap up in the regular season, so we're starting to see the seeds for the playoffs, starting to get into that. So a lot to talk about. And, of course, all the dumbness that is going on, all the stuff that makes you say, oh, hell no. Top five list tonight is one I believe is one of the hardest top fives that we've done thus far in the two seasons we've been doing this, right? Tonight's top five is top five 80 songs. Doesn't matter the genre. And you can only pick one artist at a time, so you can't double up. I'm looking at you. You know who I'm looking at. I'm looking at you. You can't double up.
I ain't worried about you looking at me.
I didn't say you. I didn't say you, Chris Brown. Look at me now.
Look on.
Yo.
Oh, good, man.
It's definitely going to be fun. We're definitely glad to have Big Game back from his vacay, from his holiday. He definitely got some sun. Looks like he, you know, looks good, looks refreshed. You know what I'm saying? So, good stuff.
I should have left people over there.
He said left people over there.
Yeah, I should have.
Nah, I hate you, man. Sometimes.
Good time.
He's that way sometimes. Hey, man, let's go ahead. Let's get down into these four downs. That's right. The hottest topics going on in sports right now, that is our four downs. First down, did the NBA overreact to the Dick Black jersey swap? Game, do you have this? Do you have the picture of this?
I can get it up real fast.
Okay.
While they
do, while he's doing that, there was, you know, it's a tradition in sports where people will swap jerseys. Now, here's what's crazy about swapping jerseys. Players actually have to pay for that, right? They have to pay for that jersey, and it's not cheap. It's actually not cheap. So if you do swap a jersey, you have to pay for that jersey. I didn't know that and didn't realize that as it was becoming a big deal in sports, especially in football and soccer and places like that, where the jerseys can become rather expensive. But apparently, the NBA has decided to fine these two players. One player, last name is Dick, and the other player, his last name is Black. And they took a picture.
All right. Hey, Jay, I'm getting it up now as you keep talking about it.
You know, I thought the NFL was the no fun league. Apparently, the NBA is the no fun league.
Hold on. Oh, I can't get the share button down here because my stupid thing is not is not working. Where I do my share screen. Anyway, please, if anything, just go to the cover of tonight's show. And you will see it on there. So this is my thing.
Yeah.
Now, Jay, to me, it is funny when you look for at some of the pictures like they sell at the sports memorabilia stores. Like they catch the guys on the football jerseys from, you know, the stands, and one's last name is Butt, the other one's last name is Head.
Yeah.
And they take a picture and it says Butthead, right? And it's hilarious. Right. It's funny. And sometimes it's natural. But for these guys to do a jersey swap. And guys do jersey swaps all the time, like you said. They even have to pay for it now. Most of the time, they do it with the front of the jersey, the team's name.
Right.
The funny geniuses here thought, okay, cool. Let's put our last names up and get in this order. So now it says Black Richard.
Black Dick. That. It says Black Dick.
We don't want
it. Black Richard. Dick.
Okay.
It Black says Dick. Black Dick.
And we don't want it to be, you know. And it's like, when I saw it, it was fun. I got a video of it first, Jay. And the players' faces is what really got me with it, right? And you said, I thought the NFL was more fun than this. I mean, NBA was more fun than this. So that's why I was like, let's talk about this, man, because this was almost my oh hell no tonight. Just honestly, it really was.
I could have seen that.
And it's not the fact that they did the jersey swap. They did it to be funny. And I don't know how true it is. I've been trying to pull it up. But sources say that these two fools have been suspended for the rest of the regular season.
Right.
Did the NBA go too far? Like, did it warrant a fine? Yeah, maybe it warranted a fine. But did it warrant them being suspended for the rest of the year?
No. And it'll be appealed, and it'll probably be reduced. But, I mean, just the fact that they even come out with this. One guy's white, one guy's Black. And I'm like, hey, this is great race relations if you ask me. You know what I'm saying? This is where it's at. You know, this is how you heal. This is where you bring America together over Black Dick. You know what I'm saying? And this is the problem with the NBA and with you know, the new leadership where they don't like Black Dick. It is very obvious that he does not like Black Dick, because if he did, he'd say, you know what? I get it. All right. This is cool. We can unite over this. But no.
I see so many emails coming our way, but it's okay. It's funny.
What are you talking about?
So Jay, is it more of a problem of the people whose minds just automatically went to the gutter, opposed to just seeing it as a jersey swap?
It's two guys enjoying a picture about Black Dick. I don't get it.
The picture is not about Black Dick, but it's about Anthony Black and Grady Dick. Yes.
There you go, Blacky Dick.
I'm gonna be like, this is a nightmare.
I just don't understand what. You see, again, this is the problem. So people take themselves way too seriously, right? And they take what they have way too seriously. This is a kid's game, realist, played by men who really are kids, okay? They wear basketball shorts. They wear cutoff T-shirts or cutoff shirts. They have no sleeves. I cannot take you seriously like that. You are a pro athlete. You do what you do. You do it at a high level. Get that.
So, Jay, was this move by the NBA, if the suspension, and I'm trying to put, if the suspension is real and all this happened, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is it this more about them trying to save face of their brand, not even about the real punishment of the players?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. Because I would love to know who said, oh, this, we got to do something about this. I'm sure this was very reactionary.
Okay, but Jay, here it is. Both of these guys are young. They're mm-hmm. not super marquee name players, right?
Right.
Did they one played at Kansas, one played at Alabama, right? Arkansas? Was it something okay, like that?
Yeah.
They're not really even rivals. What no. made it was pretty
they saw each move. Other.
They thought it would be I think they thought, hey man, your last name Dick, my last name Black. It'll be fun if we swap jerseys and hold it up.
Listen, they saw each other during warm-ups, because they sure as hell didn't see each other during the game because they didn't play. They saw each other during the warm-up. And someone said to them, hey, his last name is Black. And your last name is Dick. That'd be funny if y'all did a jersey swap. And they said, yeah, that would be funny. And so after warm-ups, you know, when players usually come to the middle of the court, hey, man, you want to do a jersey swap after the game? And they explain why. Oh, yeah, that'd be fun. And that's what they did. That's it.
I'm not mad at them. No. I just think it's beyond funny.
It's great. It's great. And you know what? The NBA doesn't need any type of, anything that's going to say, I mean, they. People are already watching the NBA. No, they don't need any more smoke. People are watching NBA, especially now. Or maybe not. Maybe ratings are down. I don't know. You know, LeBron is aging. Denver is boring. Kyrie is. There are no big stories about Kyrie coming out of Dallas. You know, Boston is still doing what Boston does. The biggest story coming out of NBA was Gilbert Arenas talking about they need to get rid of all the Europeans. And that's how you get defense back into the game. I mean, like, seriously. And that lingered for like a week.
Right.
Week and a half. So, I mean, it's maybe they just want, you know, some publicity going. I don't see why. Let the game, you know, be your publicity. You have superstars. Let them be that.
Man, I just think it's beyond funny. The way people are going to blow it up. People's mind are automatically going to go there.
Absolutely.
Not knowing. My whole thing is, like, the next day when it came out with the picture of suspension. And I said, when I went to NBA.com, they didn't say anything. So, like I said, I don't know how true it is, but the picture that says suspension, I'm like, damn, you fools going to cause yourselves money. and the rest of the season trying to be funny.
Hey, over Black Dick. Appreciate the light.
Over like over two over over 2 minutes.
Over Black and Dick. Craziness. And hey, let's go ahead and get into that second down, man. As I stated before. I'm not going to
say it.
You're not going to say Black Dick? Not even Black and Dick? African American and Richard? How about African American Richard?
I say Dick Black.
How about African American Richard?
Hey, man. I want to make that jersey swap my wallpaper, bro. It's just funny to me, dog. All right, man. Let's get on to this next down. Hey, if y'all haven't seen it, please check out the picture, man. It is on BGSE Network Twitter X page, and the Facebook page and IG.
Yeah,
I did have to share it there, so please make sure y'all check that out and look. But y'all, almost anybody and everybody that's on the social media has seen that. They're on there and they've seen it.
It's on your socials. I'm going to move this up, man, and put this here. Just recently, in all of the trades and all of the people moving, we've had some retirements, some big retirements. One of the biggest, I believe, at this point, Aaron Donald. Mm. You know, one of the big ones, I'll say that. Kelce is also retired from the Philadelphia Eagles. But Aaron Donald retiring, I think, is a very big one. And the question is, where do you rank Aaron Donald all time, especially as a defensive lineman? So he's listed as a defensive lineman, i.e. tackle. Now, this is your position, right? Mm-hmm. This is your wheelhouse. I can tell you from a fan's perspective where I put him. And I think it's quite easy to say probably top three, definitely top five, but top three, I can put him there.
And I think you could have an argument that could support a top three ranking, J-Style. Yeah. I honestly do with Aaron Donald, the way he played the game. First and foremost, man, to hear his whole story about when, you know, the University of Pittsburgh was the only D1 school that offered him a scholarship because everyone else said that he was too small and wasn't going to be good enough or big enough to play. You know, the way they, you know, they wanted their D lineman to play. Mm-hmm. I saw him play at Pitt. And the first time I saw this dude wrecking havoc, I said, yo, this fool will be playing on Sundays and someone's going to get a steal. My boy was like, man, he little dog. He doing that in the ACC. It's not going to be like that when he gets to the league. I said, bro, this cat's got a whole different. And we say we like a high motor. I said, this fool had an engine. Like race car engine. It wasn't even a high motor. It was like rah, 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 rah. Them RPMs were high. His ceiling was high. And then to watch him do it for 10 years the way he did, leave gracefully on at his own will the way he's leaving.
Yeah.
See the hand down is amazing, man. And I would definitely I say top five. And a lot of people like someone hit me up, man. Shout out to my boy AJ Turner from the Aftermath and Bucks Report. He's like, man, Big Game, I need you to come on the show. And I was like, man, I can't come on. I got a track meet. But, you know, anything you need, we want to, you know, he's like, I want to pick your brain. Name me, you know, your lineman. And I started going through all my D linemen. And my list is so crazy because I date myself going back to, like, Mean Joe Green and Ed Too Tall Jones and Simeon Rice, my old team. It's so current and it's current and it's past and it wavers a lot. So to say, where does Aaron Donald fall directly? He was in my top 10. He was further down on that list, but that's because Reggie White, people who know me, like Reggie White's my favorite defensive line. You know, rest his soul. Yeah. Jerome Brown, one of my favorite defensive linemen. You know, I rank guys like that. Old John Randall, Cortez Kennedy, just, you know, whatever. But dog, to watch Aaron Donald do it and to have the conversation, because somebody said, hey, man, well, where would you rank Aaron Donald? I said he first ballot Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
He's top. I said, if you go off today's game, he's top. He was the best defensive lineman in the game. Yes. Some people would argue, but
here's,
you know what I'm saying?
Here's where I go with this argument of top three all time in the game. You know, there's a ranking that that the NFL players rank each other, right? Mm-hmm. And they call it the top 100.
Oh, yeah. I like watching that when it comes out on NFL Network and stuff. Yeah.
Aaron Donald has ranked back-to-back number one in the league.
Amongst his peers.
Quarterback, over running backs, and as you stated correctly, yes, amongst his peers, he is ranked number one. Right. Not just once, several times, and back-to-back. To me, that speaks volumes. Big that time. You have a defensive lineman, and particularly a defensive tackle, because when you talk about other players like D. Ware and Reggie White and those guys, they're considered defensive ends, but they did move in. They did move in for a defensive tackle. That's a totally different position. Go ahead.
Yeah. I think you're way more successful to double teams, mm-hmm. Sliding protections. You know, I saw when I played with Warren Sapp. You know, you go in the game with Sapp, you're like, ooh, thank you, dog, because they about to double team your ass. You know, they're gonna slide the protection over to you. They're gonna try to chip block, you know, on the edge, ends with Simeon Rice when he was there with us. I mean, it's just like you knew what was coming, right? People game plan to try to run away from Aaron Donald, double team him with the center and the guard, and have a running back stay in and try to help fill the hole if he got through the first two.
Right.
And he still was whipping people up. 111 sacks in 10-year career.
That's crazy.
Bruh.
That's crazy. Man. I mean, you averaging over 11 sacks a season?
Season? Yeah, man. It's just
averaging? Crazy. Come on, man. Averaging? So, yeah, I definitely say he's a top three. No doubt. Top five, top three, as you stated. First ballot Hall of Fame, no problems there.
And top three, no argument. If someone came and said, well, James, he's the best I ever saw play. He's the best D lineman ever. I would be like, all right, cool. I respect that. Now, would I try to find some talking points to argue some other linemen? Yeah, because you can. Because a lot of people always go back to stats, but you can't question his stats. I mean, like I said, 111 sacks, over 500 tackles combined, solo and assisted or whatever it was. I'm pretty sure that's what it was when I looked at it, because I went right to the stats. I was like, dang.
Yeah. And he did it quietly, and he kept doing it, as you stated, at a high level for a long time. If he was hurt, okay. But and he did, you know, suffer some injuries towards the end here. And in a bad team. Look, after they won that Super Bowl.
They went to hell in the handbasket real fast. Yeah.
Yeah. They were a bad team.
You know what a lot of people won't pick up? Without watching like the film that the players watch and the coaches watch or people on the league watch, the factor grades that he will have in a play to where he may not get the tackle, he may not get the sack.
Right.
He will consume two or three linemen on that line. He will force the running back to roll out of the pocket and someone else will get the sack. We used to call that, hey, you gonna get up there and just serve him up, huh? And he will, you know, it's factor grades though. You have a factor on the play without making the play itself and Aaron Donald was that. If he was in the game, so you knew something was going to happen good for the defense as long as everybody else did their job. Now, one of the funniest plays to me, I don't know if you remember the short we put out early in the year, I mean last season, when he ran by Geno Smith, and Geno Smith had said, oh my God! a grown man in the middle of a football game yelled, oh my God.
Yes, he
did. That's when you know that the defender is bringing it. So, Aaron Donald, man, hats off to you. One of I put TBE, one the best ever. I can. Yeah. I mean, if I would ride that out, and you know, but you went to the sunset and put you right there, and you know, I shift my list in a couple of years. You probably rise right on up to the top to be number two to my man Reg.
Yeah, for sure. that's it, man. That's it. We'll skip down to this. Baseball season starts next week, 1 week from now, opening day. And, of course, my World Series Texas Rangers, you know, start out I'm excited. But the real question is, are you and should, is America excited? Are people, are fans excited for this new season?
I feel like baseball's lost some love, Jay. I really do. And, you know, I tell you this, we have the conversation all the time. We laugh about it all the time. I've watched a little bit of spring training when it's on TV to kind of see what's going on and watch this, you know, this new pitch count thing and everything else that's, you know, going into what is second or third year, second year now of existence or whatever, picking up on the rules, trying to see that, seeing that the game really has been sped up a little bit, so it's not as long. And like I said, I know I'm going to watch some opening day stuff. I'll watch, you know, the first couple of weeks, I'll watch a little bit of baseball, and then I'm going to fall off. I just, I don't know what it is, man. And I think the craze is just sweeping so much more in other sports around the nation that baseball is taking a second fiddle to basketball finals, to March Madness wrapping up when it's about to wrap up, right? I just don't think that. Now, I know pure baseball fans will argue me down, and I'm not arguing with the pure baseball fan. Like you and Reed, I can't sit up and tell y'all, man, baseball's stupid. It's falling, man. Y'all tripping. Because y'all going to watch a lot more baseball than I watch, and I understand that.
Right.
Something has to be done where I think there's a disconnect with the younger generation. Like, to me, baseball is almost like a cult now.
Oh, yeah.
Does that make sense to what I'm saying? Yeah. Though, like a cult, like, not a bad way, but it's like, like, some people live for football. Some people live for basketball. March Madness is a craze everybody jumps into because it's just something for them to do. We're going to talk about it in a minute. Baseball, I think it's just that certain group of people that get excited. Because you have people that cross over football and basketball, then dabble a little baseball. Then I think you have just that true baseball enthusiast that looks forward to spring training and that opening day. To where I got a homeboy, man, that can tell you any and everything about all the minor league teams, the farm systems. Mm-hmm. Like, baseball is his thing. Loves it to death. Yeah. And I'm going to be like, dog, you talking a foreign language to me right now. You passed me two A's ago with the, you know, with the farm league stuff. But baseball, man, it's – I don't like seeing the disconnect with younger people, especially younger African-Americans. I feel like they still need to be involved in the game of baseball. But I see how it affects me sometimes, and I lose interest a little bit. So I see how that can happen with other people out there trying to be involved with it.
Right, right. No, I totally agree with that. You know, it first of all, to go out to a park and watch an event for 4 hours, you know, with the advent of the pitch count, and we'll talk about that, the pitch count and the batter's count, you know, that has sped up the game to where it's now like around 2.5 hours. That has helped for the fans. But still, you know, it's, you have to be patient. It's a patient game, you know, and you can have a one run game, right? They're trying to also, you know, the long ball, the more, you know, scores and stuff like that, make it more exciting. So one of the things I was talking about was, you know, the pitch count clock, or the pitch clock. You know, they're saying that, looking at the injuries, and some of the things that they're starting to see is that there is a rise over the years of the pitch clock being implemented. Okay? And so in 2019, what they're looking at is, hey, you had, by the group, 218 pitchers that were listed on the injured list, right? Placed on the injured list, first spring training game to the day of 75 regular season, right? Day 75 regular season, that was 218. In 2021, it was 265. So this is when we start seeing that pitch clock coming in. 2022 is 237. In 23, it was 257. So it goes back up again, right? Not having the ability to rest your arm to, you know, to really have to say, okay, I've got, you know, 20 some odd seconds to get this throw out.
So now, Jay, are they saying that the pitchers are throwing way too fast and not recovering in between those pitches now?
Yes. So that's one aspect. The other aspect as well is that now we have pitchers that are averaging higher velocities, right? So it's more strain on their arms and bodies. I mean, even with the Rangers alone, you have two of their top pitchers, DeGrom and Scherzer, who are out until June.
Damn. You know what, Jay?
Right. Wait, Scherzer, I'm sorry. Yeah.
This is a crazy stat you brought up, man. And I'm glad you did, because here it is, as a fan, a casual fan, I'll say that, you want the game to be faster. So in my selfishness of speeding up the game, a pitcher could go out and actually hurt themselves.
Yes.
Because they're trying to speed the game up for the average baseball fan.
Yes.
Not because the diehard fans don't care how long it takes. They're not going to complain about the time of a game.
No.
So that's more for the newer, younger fan and the casual fan, right?
Exactly.
Damn, dog. Yep. I never in a million years thought about increase of injury due to lack of time between pitches. Because some of it, man, I always just think, God damn, he had the longest ritual in the world. Jesus Christ, you got to go here and scratch your balls and play with your armpit. And smell your glove and put it down and yes and no and back up and do it again and then throw the strike.
Right. What?
I mean, that's the way I looked at it. Not from the aspect that you just brought up.
I mean, just imagine, you take 10 to 15 seconds off of the play clock in the NFL, right? Instead of going for 40, now you're at, 30. Or 25 seconds every play.
Right.
Every play.
That's a track.
And we're not even talking about, let's just start on the defensive side. Hey, the play is done. Now, let's say that running back 37 yards down the field, you as a defensive lineman got to get back on side, right? Within 25 seconds when they set the ball down. Okay. And then the play is snapped.
Right. That's crazy, right, man.
And so now, that's going to cause more injury, fatigue. I mean, the whole gambit, and your body is not going to be able to react. Right. So I'm not saying it's the pitch clock is such a bad thing, but I do see where, again, I think we're going to see a lot more injuries due to it.
Mm.
And of course, MLB is saying, oh, no, it's not really that. It's because pitchers are throwing harder now and, they're going deeper into innings. And that's really not the case. You're starting to see pitchers that, you have a starter who may only go 3 to 4 innings.
Yeah.
And then you have a bridge pitcher who, they'll probably go another three innings. Right. Now they have what's called a tandem pitchers. So they
bring them in to kind of split up those later innings before the closer comes in.
Exactly.
Damn,
exactly.
Bro.
Or a middle reliever.
Man. Okay.
Right.
Gotcha.
Right. So your middle reliever, they'll throw, usually like 7, 8 inning, the 7th or 8th inning. So 2 innings, and then you have your closer that will only pitch 1 inning.
Damn.
Right. They've also shortened the bench for the pitcher, so you can only carry so many pitchers now on your bench or in your club while you're going. So I think it's decreased from 15 to 12.
The amount of pitchers you can have?
Yes.
If they're going to shorten it, they need to increase the number if they're going to shorten it, because you never know what can happen. It could be
exactly.
You don't want to have your shortstop got to go move the pitcher because dude's on rest and can't come into play.
And we saw that this past season. We started to see position players come in and pitch because, a lot of it had to do with who was going to be the starter the next day or the next couple of days, who had enough, 3-day rest, 5-day rest. It's a lot into that. So, I definitely am looking at that and seeing what's going on there. Man, I think that's it.
That's only 3 downs, bro. That's only 3.
That's only 3? What are you talking about? You're talking about NBA, Black Dick. We have to, mention that.
Just say it every time. Say it every time.
Where you rank Aaron Donald, excited for the new baseball season. And hey, March Madness, here we go. Fan or not a fan of March? I think everyone's a fan of March Madness. I think everyone's a fan.
I love it at school, man. Because kids who I know, not even the biggest sports fans, get into the making brackets and
the brackets.
You know, even the admin and ICs this year tried to make it fun, where you know every advisory grade made their bracket and submitted it. You know, did a tournament challenge to try to see who could win and how they would do, and you know, seeing kids get involved and try to do it. Some of the girls, it was so funny though. You know how many of the girls picked Drake, the college Drake, because of the rapper Drake? That boy.
Lots. That's so funny.
Hilarious, lots. Right?
Yeah.
Here's my thing, Jay. Something that got me when I saw this on the news, I know it's true. Because even as I'm not going to tell on all my educated friends, you know how many boys' coaches had the games pulled up on projectors in rooms today and tomorrow?
Lots.
Right.
Lots. Like, all of
them. This is makeup work time for a lot of your children. If they miss something,
they're gonna get a lot of worksheets, folks.
Sit down, be quiet, and get that work.
They're gonna get a lot of worksheets.
They did a stat on the news that said that work productivity goes down 60% to
good night.
Hey, so it ain't just all educators. So it's a lot of people in the world. It's a lot of people out in the world not working during March Madness. I just thought that was the funniest shit in the world, man. That it's like,
dude,
you know, are you a fan of? Are you a fan of Cinderella? Do you like this?
Am I a chalk guy or am I a Cinderella guy?
Yeah.
You know what's funny? I tend to like the chalk.
Yeah.
I do. I like my onesies to be there.
Gotcha. I hear you. And
I like my one seeds. I like my one and two seeds to be there. I mean, it's cool to watch the Cinderella, but you know, they get to the Sweet 16 or even the Elite Eight. But after that, let's come on. Cut that.
Are you a big money bracket guy, Jay Stoggs?
No. I'm not. It's because you have the teams that shouldn't be there, and they're beating the Purdue's and the Texas's, the UT's and the Kansas, and like they're beating these guys, and then they roll, and you're like, you know, and then you have these feel good stories of Sister Mary, who's out, you know, they trotting her out there, she's like 92 years old.
Hey,
Loyola
Chicago, man. Hey, dog, they went on that run because of Sister Eugene.
Yeah, Sister Mary, she out there, you know, doing the wobble and all that. Like, I don't want to see that, man. I don't want to see that, bro.
I love the underdog winning. Madness has truly started because I came on here tonight. I had my shirt on, ready to talk some smack about my Nevada Wolfpack. And they blew a 17-point lead, Jay.
Man.
So you know what the hell we were saying around this house, don't you?
Eat it. What'd you say?
Oh, hell no. Oh, hell no.
That's right. This is the portion of the podcast where we find things that happen throughout the week, when they come to our attention, sports related or not, that make us say, oh, hell no. Clearly, the Wolfpack catching that big old hell no.
How to outscore 22-4 in the last 6 minutes of the game.
Yowza. That's tough, man. You know what? It's just been a week for it, though. It really has been a week for it. That's a tough one. I'm going to tell you what, man. That's not your only one, though, yeah?
No, that's just my in-the-moment oh-hell-no. I have an oh-hell-no that I had to speak on. You know, we talked about, you said in the introduction that NFL is in full swing with you. I know you mean the NFL free agency. Yeah. And offseason's in full swing. And the Tampa Bay Buccaneers decided not to give linebacker Devin White what he wanted, which was over $20 million a year. So White decided to go and sign with the Philadelphia Eagles. And that's cool. You know, if you know the Eagles are trying to load up to assure that they can win the NFC East and not choke this year. Okay. Yeah. But that's not even about the Eagles. They're not my all hell now. Devin White, when Tampa Bay Buccaneers drafted him, was either the fifth, he was the fifth pick of the draft that year, pretty much, I believe it was. Had a pretty good run, ran into some problems, fell off a little bit, got replaced by a guy that was supposed to be a special teams player in Kenny Britt. So now White decides to take his talents elsewhere. But this is what he had to say about signing with the Eagles that got me, Jay. He says, now you get an opportunity on a bigger stage. It's a bigger platform here. It's better all around team built. It's a better all around built team here. Right now, I'm here to do great things, and I want to be part of that. It's a bigger stage. Yet, when you had the stage to perform on, when you could be the man in Tampa, you tucked your tail and didn't get the job done. Now you're in a bigger market. Yes, stage. No, NFL is the stage, son.
Yeah,
you were on the stage and underperformed on it. And now you want to talk shit because Tampa wasn't stupid enough to give you the $20+ million you wanted. And you got outplayed by somebody younger than you. So, yes, it is good that you've gone on to bigger and better things, because if I seem to remember right, Tampa Bay stomped off in Philadelphia's ass last year in the playoffs. And I hope we get a chance to face you again this year, because your statements, because you strictly are bitter right now, make me say, oh, hell nah. Grow up, Devin White. Take ownership for you. And I don't like referring to Sapp a lot. Warren Sapp came and called him out and said, if it was me, I'd snatch the C off his chest. There's no way that this guy could be a captain of my team playing the way he's playing right now.
Word.
And he's not even a part of the team. Turn into a locker room cancer. Turn into a locker room cancer. But yet now, I'm on a bigger stage here. It's an all-around, better-built team.
Got to be more careful.
Oh, hell no.
For real. Yeah, that's a great one. Shohei Ohtani, his interpreter, apparently, well, not apparently, he has gotten fired for apparently betting $4 million of the Dodgers' money. That's right. The number was $4 million. He siphoned off, stole, whatever you want to call it. Yeah, damn for sure. $4 million and bet it. Now, here's the thing I say about this, oh, hell no. First of all, bro, you're there to interpret for Shohei Ohtani. You're going to get yours. You getting yours, okay?
Jay, that's got to be one of the easiest jobs. Just sit back, let him know what he – let the Dodgers know what he say, and let him know what the Dodgers say, and get your money.
Get your money. That's it. Get your money. But he had to go back. Now, here's what – there are other reports coming out saying that it was actually Shohei who was betting, but the interpreter is taking the fall for him.
I don't think so. I think the interpreter was stealing the money.
I think
and
so
then,
too.
And then gambling that shit. And Tony didn't know what the hell was really going on, dog.
Yeah, exactly. This is my whole thing.
Man, he was smart enough to get the deal done the way he did, where he's taking a lot of stuff on the back end. So when he gets the money, if he wants to go back to his home country and save on that tax dollar. Come on, bro. He wasn't about to mess up with no betting shit. That the weasel got caught and tried to turn the story around.
Oh my gosh. And so for that one, yeah, you get an old hell no. I have a second one real quick. Tad Prescott, this is the brother of one Dak Prescott, put out a list of his top 10 quarterbacks. And I'm going to read this quickly, man, but this is what's really crazy to me. He goes on a podcast and says, hey, let me tell you who my top 10 quarterbacks are. Of course, he starts out with Patrick Mahomes. Okay, cool. Great. Number two, Dak Prescott. Really? He's the second best quarterback in the league?
It's all right, though, man. He's a...
said second, number two, and he ranked them. He was specific about this. Lamar Jackson, number three. Josh Allen, number four. Aaron Rodgers is the top. He has him as the fifth top quarterback in the league this year. Joe Burrow, Tua Tagovailoa, Jared Goff, Matt Stafford. Now, that's where he ends at nine, and they question him, well, who do you have at 10? He said, really, I don't have anybody at 10. I mean, I guess you can put Joe Flacco in there or Russell Wilson.
Stop playing.
I'm very serious, sir. Joe Flacco or Russell Wilson. I guess you could put. He said, I really don't have a top. I don't have a 10. I don't have anyone at 10.
He could have said Trevor Lawrence. He could have said.
So he was asked, well, what about Jalen Hurts? No Jalen Hurts? His quote, direct quote was, you said quarterbacks, not running backs. Bro. What is this dude doing?
CJ, and I know you said real quick, this is the problem. And I love the podcast platform because it makes it where we all can get out here and do what we love to do, talk sports,
there you go.
Interact with people,
yeah,
and be guests. But this is my thing. I don't know what the name of the podcast that Tad Prescott was on.
This clearly
shows me that you were trying to get Dak and you couldn't, and you settled for his brother who does nothing football related or wise. Like, I'm not trying to say that everyone doesn't deserve to have their own list. If you're a sports fan, you can have a list. We know that, Jay, right?
Sure. We have lists. We have a top five that's about to go up.
But who in the fiddlesticks gives a damn about Tad Prescott's quarterback list?
Dude, anybody that puts Joe Flacco in the top 10
and Russell Wilson,
you're done. Your list has lost all legitimacy
above Jalen Hurts.
Well, Jalen Hurts is a running back, to be fair. This is the I Am Athlete podcast that he was on.
Brandon B. Marsh, y'all had y'all was gonna say a word I shouldn't say on here, man. Man, bye, dog. Man.
So that's my old hell no of the week.
Had to pump the brakes on that shit, man.
Oh my gosh. So good. When I heard it, I was like, no, this is why family should not do interviews about sports.
And it's so funny, like the whole Dallas Cowboys, all their stars, all the families is beefing and blaming people for, man.
All of them.
I need to reach out to some of these fools and get them on the goddamn podcast. Just, maybe we'll blow up like an athlete, man.
You probably won't get them, but you definitely get their family. You definitely get the family.
I'll take Cletus Lamb. I don't know who he is a CD, but I'll take him. Shit.
Hey, you know what I'm saying? That's a fact. Oh my gosh, man. Look, I think we're just gonna have to go ahead and get into that top five.
I mean, this top five is a lot. So yeah, man. Yeah. Let's go and hit that intro and do what we need to do. Hey, the new intros are coming, man. I'm challenged, dog. I'm challenged.
We all are.
Oh, here we go.
Even when you feel low, you can still go. Even when you feel slow, you can still go. Even when there's no hope, you can still go. I never answer to no, man, I still go. Go,
go. I'm still tripping off of this boy, Tan, man.
Did he say Joe Flacco for real?
He did. He said Joe Flacco or Russell Wilson.
Man.
He said you just throw them in there. Dude, he just threw 10 interceptions in a playoff game. What are you talking about? How's he top 10 quarterback? Anyway, some people have a top 100, some have a top 50, some have a top 25, some have a top 10. But here at Big Game Sports Buzz, we have a top five. Who's in? Who's out? What's in? What's out? We don't punk out like that. Tonight's top five list. Top five 80s songs of all time. Make sure you hit us up in the chat. We'd love to see your list. Who makes it for you? You can also chat back at us and, you know, what we put on. So without further ado, my brother, my man, my homie, my dude, my guy. Let's do it. Top five 80s.
J-Stocks, man. First and foremost.
Yes, sir.
The 80s, an era of my life that I love a lot. Mm. And I didn't realize how much I appreciated the 80s, I think, until I became grown to really realize, like, what my childhood was like. And I had no complaints.
Yeah.
Musically, you're an asshole. Because to take all these different genres of music and entertainment from one decade and narrow it down to five, say, dog.
With no repeat artists.
No, and no repeat artists. I mean, without further ado, man, and I'm giving y'all these in no particular order, but things that, you know, these songs meant something to me.
Yeah.
Purple Rain by Prince.
There you go.
Purple Rain by Prince.
There you go.
Beat It by Michael Jackson.
Okay.
I had to have that damn, after that song came out and then that video, I had to go have the damn jacket, bro. I had to have the jacket. In the Air Tonight by Phil Collins.
Man.
That one trickled over to me being grown.
Yeah.
And playing football and being a hype song. But every Friday night, man, when I watch Miami Vice and then when that song came on, off the chain. I Ain't No Joke, but Eric B. and Rakim.
There we go.
You know, I was an athlete back then.
Yeah.
When that song came out. And when I Ain't No Joke came on, I just felt like I was the shit. Like, just out there playing, I ain't no joke. Yeah, man. And then my top song, man, 80s.
Yeah.
This, still to this day, I believe, is the Black Family Reunion and Barbecue National Anthem.
Yeah.
Before I Let Go by Maze featuring Frankie Beverly.
Yes, sir.
Just.
Yes, sir.
Dude.
Big facts.
And that's my top. It's my top five. Now,
congratulations. That's awesome.
I won't give a disclaimer. That's my top five.
Yeah. He's usually about to. He's about to give it up. Start giving me four or five more.
No. But there's some great artists that I left off. Go ahead.
Man, look. Yes. There was definitely. This was tough, okay? I can't say that it was not. So let's just go with it. I agree with you. And again, this is no particular order. You know, I don't do that. Since you mentioned it, Purple Rain, Prince, that is the ultimate song for me, right? In the 80s. I can play that when I need to. That is it. Whitney Houston, I Want to Dance with Somebody. Bro, that was, it's Whitney, okay?
Yeah.
To kind of vary it up, Aha, Take On Me. For some reason, I love this song, and it was everywhere.
Is it because of the music video?
Probably. And this is like, probably.
The pencil drawing and the comic book,
yes.
and it came alive.
Yeah.
Yeah, that shit was fire.
But I mean, you know, and look, everybody sing when it comes on. Everyone sings the chorus. No one really knows the verse, but everybody's gonna sing the chorus, right? And
synthesizers in the '80s too.
Oh man, dude, with long jackets and the hair and man, yeah. I wish I could do that. My hair didn't do that, but I wish it could.
You got a Bobby Brown on my prerogative haircut. I know you did.
I definitely did. Yeah, I definitely had a Gumby. I had a Gumby for sure. Michael Jackson, I Can't Help It. Listen, I know there are great songs out there, okay? I'm not going to mention them, but this is probably one of my favorite Michael Jackson 80 songs off of Off the Wall album, right? Someone bought this album for me for my birthday, and I treasure this album to this day.
I mean, Off the Wall was a banger.
I think it's probably one of the most underrated albums.
It was a banger. Michael's nose was still big on Off the Wall.
Still big. Quincy Jones actually produced this album. This is one of those albums that if you go back, you'll see some soulfulness of Michael Jackson that he had. This was it, for sure. And then finally, look, this is a personal one, okay? I had this record. I had a 45. I played this record so much, I broke it. It's by a gentleman by the name of Frankie Smith. It's called Double Dutch Bus. Now look.
Wow, you broke.
The record on the record player.
Jay, that's a cool song. That surprised me though. Like, I never would have guessed that one on you. But that chorus, like, the double dutch bus coming down the street. Boy, wow. You broke it. Oh my God.
All I needed was to hear, because that's the beginning of the song. Yeah. It was on the poppin'.
Right.
It was don't. I was like, all right, let's go. We know what this is. Hey, man. Move your feet uptown, downtown, and anywhere is going and down. Say uptown. I mean, dude, that is my ultimate 80s jam. It doesn't make sense. It's not gonna be on other people's top five or even top 10.
It doesn't matter though, dog. That's a good, I like that though, because that's a song that took you somewhere. I saw it on your face when you just talked about it and described it, right? And that's what I love about music. Music does that. Yeah. Music will take you to a place and bring back a part of your life and your childhood. Like I say, I correlate those Friday nights, man. I was still living in Liberty City with my grandparents, dog.
Mm-hmm.
Them Friday nights of watching Miami Vice after watching Knight Rider and other stuff like that.
Man.
And that music came on, and then going to school and you know, all the, and I got put in a private school, and I always had to be Tubbs because I was the only black dude in the class. Everybody else got to be Crockett. But, you know, the song did that.
Yeah, bro. Dude, I'm trying to imagine you with a
suit on,
with a jacket.
A linen jacket? Yeah, dog.
Jacket with the pads rolled up. Rolled up sleeves
and some Vans and a bright color shirt, dog.
I need that picture. Mama Big Game. I need that picture now. I need that picture. I know there's a picture out there.
Man, that's amazing, dog.
Yo, I'm telling you that's my ultimate jam right there, though, man. That's the one that gets me for sure. So, yo, make sure that you put yours in the chat, at least your top 80 song, the one that your go-to that, hey, it takes you back to wherever you were in the 80s. Put that in the chat. We'd definitely love to see it, and we'll jam it out and see what it sounds like, you know. Take us back as well. Look, I'm Jay Soggs, the Buff Nerd. Let's go. It's been a pleasure. It's been fun. Thank you for the likes. Make sure that you keep watching and chatting with us.
Hey, man, until next time, that's the Buff Nerd, Big Game James right here. Peace.
Yeah. Big Game. Who you know that got it behind the scenes like behind the O-line soon as the QB say hype? It's Big Game, Big Game, Analysis,